When I walk on by. High noon in the District of Columbia. Points along the eastern seaboard. It is the Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. And right now I am fired up to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. R-U-U-D. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Speak with our friend Mr. Bob Glauber from Newsday. Bob, how are you, man? Thanks for making time for us.
You got it. I'm glad to talk and hope all is well.
Yeah, dude, we're doing well. We're football's back. We're fired up.
Yeah.
Let's start with last night. You know, you've covered the NFL, the whole league, everything coming in and out of New York. Last night I thought was a tale of two halves. The first half, The offenses looked good. Then the weather delay rolls in, and everything just was ugly after that.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of when you get a weather delay like that in week one, you know, you're kind of hoping for the best on week one anyway, and it looked a little bit better than expected early on, and then you get the delay and then things bogged down. So, you know, it was a good competitive football game, but you're right. It was a tale of two halves, and, you know, fortunately for the defending champs, they just eked it out.
Thankfully, we're not talking much about officiating today. It felt like a really well-played game in that sense. But one thing that did pop up, obviously, the Jalen Carter thing, and I think that was properly adjudicated. But the emphasis on the taunting penalties, Nolan Smith got one for flexing over a guy. What do you make of that? The emphasis that they're saying they're going to call more taunting. Do you like that? Do you dislike that?
You know, I'm generally okay with it because I think, listen, I always loved celebrations in the end zone. And I kind of got mad when the NFL cracked down on that. You know, the fun bunch was one of the best things going in the NFL in the 80s, right? But, you know, at some point it gets a little bit much, and they did make an emphasis in the offseason on cracking down on the taunting penalties. So I'm okay with the individual, you know, you get in the guy's face, and there's a certain line that I just think sportsmanship-wise you don't need to cross. So they are cracking down on that. Now, spitting on a guy is, you know, that crosses every line that there is. So that's a little bit different. But I think that the taunting, the players know this. They've been briefed on it in the preseason. So, I'm generally okay with it. But I think you just want to kind of walk a fine line. You want to have it entertaining. You want to have guys be able to express themselves, but without, you know, getting ridiculous about it.
Yeah, I agree. And the spitting, the amount of Philly fans that are now trying to turn this on Dak, you know what Dak didn't do? Spit on anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's no – I that's just nuts to me.
Hey, listen, man. Anyone who's played sports, rec sports, pro sports, you know, you spit, right? But Dak didn't spit on him, and he didn't spit in that direction. So I don't know if that's going to be a mitigating factor in – what will surely be an appeal of whatever, a fine. I think it'll be a fine. I don't think it'll be a suspension. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I also don't think it should be a suspension for whatever that's worth.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's, you know, you suspend a guy for, you know, if he jumps on a guy's chest when he's down and, you know, it's obvious there. This to me was not a suspendable altercation.
I agree with you. Talking with the great Bob Glauber, longtime president of the Pro Football Writers of America. You can read his work at Newsday. You can follow Bob at Bob Glauber, Glauber. It's week one, and we got a game tonight, Friday night in Brazil. The question I think a lot of folks are asking after really the humbling ass-kicking they took in the Super Bowl, what do you make of the Chiefs this season?
I never underestimate this team. You know, I think the AFC and it's the NFL in a lot of ways comes down to three teams, and the Chiefs are still one of them. Buffalo and Baltimore, to me, are the others. That AFC is it's kind of deep, but at the top, it's those three teams. So I still don't think that we're about to see the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs as an NFL dynasty. Now, I don't know if they'll win the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to have a good year. I think they're just a good football team. Patrick Mahomes is still the preeminent, you know, big game player and quarterback that there is in the NFL. So there's no way I'm selling this team short. No way.
On the flip side, in the NFC, did the Micah Parsons trade change anything for you on the NFC side? Did you already view the Packers as a real contender and now they may be bumped up? How do you look at the NFC now?
You know, that's a good question, and I think the Packers get bumped up a little bit as a result of this. There's just something from this team that has been missing you know, Jordan Love is not the perfect quarterback. I think we've seen that. Now, he can still, there's still an upside for him, and I think he is not topped out. But that trade, to me, signaled that the Packers are absolutely figuring their contenders, and I think it is going to be a big difference. Now, if Micah Parsons is healthy, I get a little worried when I see, you know, back, probable, might play with an injection. That stuff scares me. And I don't know if Jerry Jones knew something that we didn't know and made that trade. Now, you know, I think the Cowboys certainly would have been better off with him. But, you know, I just have a little bit of caution about Micah Parsons being the savior. But at his best, he is going to make a huge difference on a side of the ball that the Packers have traditionally needed some help on, just getting over the top.
It was a big move for a team that has been close, and you wonder if it does put him over the top. Obviously, he's got to be healthy, right. Sure. What do you make of the Vikings turning things over to J.J. McCarthy? You know, they were great last year, and then Darnold remembered he was Sam Darnold in the last 2 weeks of the season.
The clock struck midnight, didn't it? Yeah. You know, I like this team, but I think this team has the look of, well, you know, everything went perfect for them last year, you know, until the very end. And it's going to have to be the same this year. I think they're a good football team, but it's not going to totally surprise you if they take a step back. And, you know, Chicago, I think, is going to be better at the coaching position and at the quarterback position. So I think that becomes a little bit of a threat for Minnesota. So I'm not going to be surprised at all if they just, you know, kind of meander a little bit and struggle. You got a first-year quarterback in there. It's always tough. So, you know, that's my take on Minnesota. It's just not going to be totally surprised if they scuffle a little bit.
Staying in that division, with Detroit losing both coordinators, do you think that they're able to just overcome that and kind of live up to the new Lions standard, or do you see a real step back with losing both those guys?
Yeah, I think Ben Johnson is a bigger setback. I think Aaron Glenn did a really good job, and I think he'll be a good head football coach in New York. I don't know about just this year, but I think, you know, overall he's kind of got the tools. But you know, when you lose your offensive coordinator, when Jared Goff has a career year, that is a little concerning. And that defense, that division is kind of stacked. You know, talk about Chicago getting better. They're going to have to get really better to contend for a playoff. I don't think they're ready for that just yet. You know, but Detroit, I think, you know, I keep talking about all these teams that may take a step back. I don't think Green Bay will, but I think Detroit, it would not surprise me. They had a great year, monster year, and it just didn't come through at the very end. And that's going to, you know, live with, they're going to haunt that team a little bit, and they got to live with that. And Jared Goff, I like Jared Goff a lot. I like him. I don't love him, and mostly because in big, big spots, he has just not answered the call. We're talking about the tippy top,
yeah.
Super Bowl, you know, deep in the playoff game, and, you know, you saw it against New England, just wasn't there. And, you know, when Sean McVay kind of shows he doesn't believe in you, that's a quarterback, you know, driven coach who, you know, pulled the plug on it and won a Super Bowl the next year. So that's what, you know, concerns me a little bit. So I think in that whole division, there's just questions about all those teams. You know, and you talk about Chicago in terms of improving, but, you know, it's hard not to improve from being terrible. So it's all relative there. So I think it's a really intriguing division that is going to have some twists and turns to it.
I do too. And it was so top heavy and so good. Another division I think it's fairly wide open, is the NFC West. You know, the Stafford back injury situation has really brought into question what the Rams have.
Yeah. I hope Stafford makes it through the season, because it's always good when the good teams have their quarterbacks for the full season. And this is a good football team if Matthew Stafford can make it through. It's a huge if. You know, you talk about, you know, the back injury with Micah Parsons, it's worse than with Matthew Stafford. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's older. He's got a lot of tread on that, you know, not a lot of tread on the tire left. And, you know, it's definitely a concern. And the whole division, you're right, it is topsy-turvy. You know, does Arizona finally put it together? I don't know. Seattle, what happens there? You know, their quarterback situation is going to be kind of weird a little bit. So, and San Francisco, I think it's certainly a well-coached football team. You know, Brock Purdy got the contract behind him. That's settled. But they don't have some of the weapons that he used to have. And that's a question. You know, all those teams, you know, face question marks. And I think, you know, for that reason, that division, like a lot of them, it's like, whoa, you know, what's going to happen? That's the beauty of the NFL. You just don't know. And I think on paper, you really don't know with this division.
I do want to get to Commanders Giants, but one more. I think the AFC East is Buffalo's for the taking. The AFC mm-hmm. North, I think, is Baltimore's for the taking. But what do you make of Cincinnati? They changed D coordinators. Obviously, that offense can move the ball like crazy, but can they stop enough people to get back into a real contender?
I hope they can, because they're fun to watch. You know, Joe Burrow is – he's getting in there in terms of, you know, top five in the NFL, if he's not even going to be higher than that. This guy is a gunslinger, and he's great. And his defense betrayed him last year, and they did make that change. And so I hope that helps. One thing I found interesting this year is that, you know, they played the offense more in the preseason, which kind of goes against that idea that, well, you don't need to play him in preseason. Don't expose this team to injury. You know, they've got to get off to a better start, and that's been their bugaboo the last couple of years. They haven't started well. And in order to avoid that, you know, the players, the starters, played a little bit more than they're used to in the preseason, which I think is an indication that they got to get ready and got to get out to a better start to contend with Baltimore, which I still think is the class of that division. I just like them. They're well coached. Lamar is just such a dynamic quarterback who's getting better. Love watching the progression of that guy. And I think, you know, now it's time to measure Lamar Jackson as, hey, you know, what are you doing in the playoffs? You've got every regular season award there is. You know, MVP is like a lock for this guy almost, or certainly in competition with it. But it's what happens in January and February, and that's where this team is at, and that's where this quarterback is at. So I still like Baltimore as the class of that division.
Getting into the local team, the Commanders getting set to take on the Giants on Sunday. From an outsider perspective, what's the expectation you have for Washington coming off a year where they go to the NFC Championship game?
You know, in the course of history in the NFL, we've seen these kinds of teams take a massive step forward one year. And that's awesome. And then that's why this league is set up so well. You know, you know the draft rewards the worst team, so you have a chance to get better quick. So Washington right now is in that situation where they've got to guard against that inevitable, sometimes inevitable, step-back season. And it's very common. So, you know, don't be surprised if there are some scuffles along the way. I don't think it'll happen this week, but – that's the challenge that Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels face, is everything going so well. You know, the Hail Mary last year, it was magic. There was magic in that season. There's no question. And there's magic in that quarterback. But now it's a little bit of a grind, and the expectations are higher. If you don't perform, then the pressure gets more. So that's the challenge that they face. And I think that, you know, you have that I just call it a step back season, and that's the danger that they face.
Certainly, but specifically for this weekend with the Giants coming to town, Giants kind of rebuilt that team. You get Russ Wilson as your starting quarterback, basically a placeholder until they decide it's Jackson Dart time, or until things mm-hmm. start to go bad and the coach gets desperate. What do you think of this weekend's matchup? I mean, New York does have what looks to be a really strong pass rush.
Yeah. The defense, I think, is going to be the strength of this football team. And you're right, the pass rush is better. And I think that with some luck and with some maybe, you know, good plays and a pass rush that can perhaps force a turnover, although Jaden Daniels is just so good at protecting the football, there's a chance. And I think it would happen on defense. Offensively, listen, you know, Russell Wilson, he's been with four teams in the last few years, and what does that tell you? All right, it tells you that, you know, he's kind of an aging veteran who is just not as effective as he once was. And I, you know, it's fine. It's better than what they had. And, you know, Jackson Dart, he did well, you know, a second string quarterback did well against second string players and third stringers in preseason. Great. Well, you know, when the rubber meets the road in a regular season, things get ramped up. Teams show real stuff on defense, and it's different. Now, Andrew Thomas, we don't know about him. He's got the foot injury. He's a very good left tackle when he's healthy. If that's a problem and Russell Wilson gets under a pass rush, he's just going to duck out of that pocket, you know, try to scramble, try to get a big throw down the field. But he can't do that as well anymore. We've seen it. You know, you saw it in Denver. You saw it in Pittsburgh. So it's just not going to be a surprise if that offense kind of bogs down a little bit early. And Jackson Dart, you know, the chance go up early for Jackson Dart. It's impressive that he passed Jameis Williams in training camp to get that second position. That's great. But, you know, it's a long way from having a really good preseason as a rookie to transferring that on the field, you know, in the regular season in October and November. And that's the time you would see him if this team really does struggle. And the call does go to Jackson Dart.
It's going to be really interesting to see. You think Washington gets it done Sunday, it sounds like?
I do. Yeah, I do. Home field, I think, means something. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be ready for this. I like this football team. You know, defensively, it's not a complete team. You know that. It's not what it was, you know, pass rush-wise. But I think they will have enough to get it done, certainly in this spot.
Hey, Bob, thanks for making time for us, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Bob Glauber from Newsday. It's week one. NFL, you talk to dudes that covered the league like Bob Glauber. When we come back, we're also going to talk to somebody that knows this league and just wrote a tremendous story on Jaden Daniels. Jory Epstein will join the program from Yahoo Sports. Nobody go anywhere.